someone. Yep, he's late and has a shitty excuse.
Hey, hey, hey! My dad have a shitty excuse. What's up with that? Got a new voice, girl. Already getting messages. 8:05, thank you for joining us. Happy Monday edition of the show. I love this tradition that we have going on. Everybody all ready for Monday? I got a new setup here, so I'm going to do the best I can to wing it today. We got a ton to get to today. We will get to it quickly. By the way, before we get to everything, thank you so much for joining us, the regular stuff, which means please like, subscribe, follow at John Lund Radio on Twitter, at John Lund Unleashed Pod. That's what you're watching right now. I've also got a podcast, so if you can't stay the whole time, there it is. We put the podcast audio version up. Then you don't have to look at my face. So that probably is much more appetizing. Please tell your friends the community is growing, which is awesome. I guess I could let this cat out of the bag as well. We got a website that should be up this week, so we're continuing to give you more stuff that you can check out and watch. And if you're new to the show, that little chalkboard right there will tell you exactly what you need to know. Clay last night, the three-point record. The Warriors have lost 8 of 10. How big of a game changer, how much of a needle mover is Dennis Schroeder? I did a 3 minutes on Dennis Schroeder. If you missed it over the weekend, we'll go through that. You probably watched the NFL over the weekend with no 49ers to probably make you feel a little bit better, but didn't feel better on Sunday night. And I've been telling you this, I don't think Seattle's very good. I don't think the Rams are all that good. The Cardinals aren't very good. So with the 49ers losing, you would think to yourself, man, how did they not win this division? Interesting stuff on Devondre Campbell, especially as John Lynch is concerned. I started my Christmas shopping. Want to discuss that. There always seems to be a new something or other out on Netflix. I think the Aaron Rodgers one where he does all the ayahuasca. I don't know if you're going to watch that, but there's a John Madden coming out. I'll tell you who's going to play John Madden. He is outstanding, so I think he'll do a great job. And a Caboose pistol, which I have a brand new fancy open for the Caboose pistol, so you can't miss the end of the show. It's something that happened last week, but we didn't play it, and we have to play it. It's phenomenal. It is going to be, I don't want to go overboard here and sell it too high. I don't know that it's going to be a top 10 Caboose of all time, maybe a top 20 Caboose of all time. So that is what is going on. That is what is on the agenda. Again, remember to please follow, subscribe, tell all your friends, all that kind of stuff. Let me acknowledge everybody on a Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. I love the chat. Make sure that you hit me up in the chat there. Questions, comments, thoughts. Tell me about your weekend. It doesn't have to be sports related, whatever it is that you want to discuss. And if you want to discuss something further, at John Lund Radio. If you have hit me up with comments, I try to get to them all. I haven't gotten anything this morning, but certainly last night, over the weekend, I'm always getting to the comments. So let's say you're watching or listening to this later, hit me up in the comments section at John Lund Unleashed Pod on YouTube, and I will try to get to them all. But I always appreciate you coming in. Thanks to Jeff. Jeff is first almost every day. Rockin' New Era, it is great to see you. Tacky, you are the best. Who else we got? AJ, my guy AJ is here. Thank you so much. Daniel is here. Senior Softball Games is here. Yeah, buddy. Daryl is here. Enrique is here. Jamie. nice. In the 209, one of my favorite places, period. Love the 209. Say hello. Greg is here as well. Lundheads. We had a bunch of good stuff. I hope I can remember it all the weekend because it's just, there's so much on a Monday that you have to get to. It's absolutely crazy. One thing only, and then we will get to everything because you want to talk about things. It is a busy day, but somebody over the weekend, Friday night, Saturday night runs together. Friday night I went out to dinner. By the way, I have a new segment that I'm contemplating. Okay, so I'm going to get to two things before we get to sports. Would you guys be into, because I'm not going to do it unless you guys would be into it, but I have a really good friend. I went out on a Friday night, and I have a really good friend who's a tremendous bartender. I mean, really one of the best. I bartended my way through college and was okay. Fancy restaurants faked it, wore a bow tie, if you can imagine, and all that kind of stuff. So I was all right back in the day, but this guy, I mean, top-notch stuff with whiskeys and, you know, drinks and summer drinks and winter drinks and Christmas drinks. And just he can introduce you to new things that you might like and so forth. And every time I go in there, I learn something. The guy is awesome. So we got to talking after a couple of old fashioned, not by him, but by me. And I said, you know what would be really cool on my podcast if I came in here to the bar and you kind of just introduce us to some cool stuff, you know, not for an hour or anything, but maybe like 10 minutes, 15 minutes and just do it kind of a separate, you know, kind of a offshoot to this show, like, you know, Better Call Saul kind of a thing where you just offshoot it for 10 or 15 minutes. Would you guys watch something like that? Learn something about, you know, liquor rather than just shooting it down and waking up and feeling like hell the next day. I just thought it was a really cool idea. So maybe it was the old fashions, you know, in my head, or maybe it was like, this is a really good idea. I mean, I'm talking about a true top-notch professional bartender. So noodle that around in your head for just a second. And then the second thing was, I got an email over the weekend. In fact, let me just pull the guy's name up really quick. His name is Patrick Ramirez. And like I said, I always try to make sure that I'm responding to everything. And he didn't know the opening music that we play. It's called the bumper music, the opening bumper music, which is, of course, Red Hot Chili Peppers, right? We play the Red Hot Chili Peppers to start the show every single day. Oops, I had the wrong button there. Right here. Yeah, we play that. And I think most people know it's Higher Ground by the Red Hot Chili Peppers, right? And then he didn't know the origins of this one. This is the one. This is the original. So I did like a mashup. If you go to @JohnLundRadio, just it wasn't really me. It's not some professional mashup. But I felt bad because, like, this is probably the better version, right? What's the better version? I mean, this is great. I'm a big Red Hot Chili Peppers fan. Seen them a lot in concert. But I mean, this one. I mean, this is badass. So, I guess I'm asking, like, which version do you like better? Would you like to start the show like this? You know? Or would you like to start, just keep it the way that it is? By the way, did you notice some of my voice work?
It's Monday with John Lund Unleashed. Yep, he's late and has a shitty excuse.
It's incredible. So anyway, I want to get your thoughts on that. And again, like I always say, any questions, comments, or thoughts, you want to make sure that you hit me up and we are good to go. All right, I have wasted enough time. We're 13 minutes past the hour. Let's get to a lot of stuff. AJ says, hell yeah, if he can show us how you make bourbon cherries. That's a great idea. He can absolutely do that. I'm not familiar with Landman. Give me more, because doesn't everybody just love to get recommendations from everybody? There's so much stuff out there. Red Hot version, especially drinking an old fashioned. He has all sorts of different old fashions that he does. It's awesome. See right there, Stevie Wonder says Jeff. Rockin says I like Red Hot Chili Peppers. Just, you know, to each their own. So maybe I'll just kind of mix it up. Hi, Smiley Dan. I guess I'll be buying a bunch of bitters today. Hopefully, we aren't making our own simple syrups, too. It's pretty simple, right? A little sugar, a little water, shake it up. But anyway, I was just thinking as an offshoot, and I thought it was a good idea. And like I said, it's not just some, you know, jackass like me throwing around drinks and trying to be some mad scientist. This guy really knows what he's doing, and I'm intrigued every time I go in there. So it just kind of depends what you're into. All right, let's get to it today. Somebody, by the way, said that we needed hot nuts on a Monday, and I don't think we do, because he mentioned this morning that Corbin Burns hasn't signed yet, and I understand that, but he hasn't signed with Toronto either, as far as I know, and I've been looking constantly. Everyone's freaking out about that. It's taken some time, but, you know, when you're looking at $245 million, it's going to take a second. I just saw something from John Morosi. I don't know if that means anything to anybody, but I don't know that he has signed yet, so I could be wrong. If I am, hit me up on the text line. Daniel says, Irish coffee eggnog. I like Irish coffee. I like eggnog, which I told you last week, you got to do it in the pan. Don't heat it up in the microwave. It's much better that way, but I don't know that I've ever tried both together. Techie says, that was me. Okay, yeah, want to make sure, and I apologize that I did not give you credit where credit is due. All right, let's get to everything. Remember, we got everything going on. There's Facebook. I got a brand new Facebook page. There's like 3 people following me. It's really embarrassing. And then there's social media @JohnLundRadio. I'm on all the social media. All right, let's get to everything. It is time to talk sports. Let's start with Klay Thompson. 29 points, season high. 7 three-pointers, season high. And the Mavericks score 143 points against the Warriors last night. My goodness, defense, anyone? Here is Klay talking about his second return to Chase.
And it still warms my heart to see all the number 11 jerseys. It still makes me incredibly grateful for the time I did have here. Legendary stuff. But now it's time to do some legendary stuff in Dallas. And I truly
love Clay. I like to see Clay happy. He did some post-game stuff. And he just a lot more calm, a lot smoother. I know you don't like this. It's hard to root against him, though. Tell me if I'm wrong here. I'm watching the game last night, and you don't just get over some guy being in another uniform, especially when he's cool as Clay. So you're torn between you want the Warriors to win, but you want Clay Thompson to do well. But last night, Luka was an absolute monster, 40-something points, triple-double. They just couldn't stop him. And we'll get into Dennis Schroeder in a minute and what he means and how much he's going to bring to the table as far as the Warriors. But as I put up there, they've lost 8 of 10 have the Warriors, and Dennis Schroeder is not going to make all the difference in the world. But as far as last night is concerned, Brandon Podziemski struggles again. That's where Schroeder is going to make the biggest difference. I think that Podziemski is going to be probably nailed to the bench for the near future. I thought that Schroeder was going to be a guy that was going to come off the bench, be that veteran guy who's like, okay, because he can do a lot of different things. I got a highlight package that I'll play for you in a second. I'm sure you're familiar with this game, and we'll play Steve Kerr talking about him in a second as well. But just to kind of stick to last night's game, 48 three-pointers, which tied an all-time record between the two teams. The Warriors set an all-time record for their team in three-point shots, and yet they lose to Dallas last night because Luka and Klay absolutely went off, and they gave up 143 points. So unless Dennis Schroeder is one of the best defensive players of all time, and he holds his own on that end of the floor. He's quick, he's fast, he's wiry, he's not big, but he's quick. He's given Steph hell, that's for sure, if you watch any kind of Warriors, whether Schroeder was with a number of different teams. He originally came in with Atlanta, Boston, the Lakers, OKC, so he's well-traveled, there's no question, but he is one of those guys, maybe not to an Avery Bradley level, but he has given Steph some problems, and so it's a nice addition for the Warriors, and we'll get more into that in just a second. But last night's game, certainly alarming. Is he going to move the needle for a team that's lost 8 of 10? No, not to that level. And also, there was discussion, Anthony Slater reported this, who does a great job covering the Warriors for The Athletic, and he said that there were discussions that there was a larger deal in place. Cam Johnson could have been involved, Dorian Finney-Smith could have been involved, but that would have necessitated that Jonathan Kuminga be part of the deal, and I agree. I like Cam Johnson. He's not a bad player. You remember him probably mostly with the Suns in the Western Conference, and he's improved since he's gone to the Nets. But the thing that scares you about, we used to call it the Tony Campbell rule. So we're going way, 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 way back. Let me explain what the Tony Campbell rule is. And what that is on a really bad team. So when the Minnesota Timberwolves came into existence in 1989, they're an expansion team. They're terrible. So Tony Campbell is a guy who had a nice college career that he played for the Lakers, and he didn't play at all. And then he goes to the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are an expansion team. He's scoring 20 points a game, and people are like, well, we may have missed the boat on Tony Campbell. He's pretty good. Then he went to a decent team, and he sucked again. The Tony Campbell rule is somebody's got to score. Somebody's got to get rebounds. Somebody's got to get assists. Well, that's kind of the situation with Dennis Schroeder. It's not that Dennis Schroeder is a bad player. It's just that in 33 and a half minutes, which is a career high, he's averaging a career high 18 and a half points, 6.5 assists, like 4 or 5 rebounds a game. I mean, he's all world. He's doing all these great things. He's shooting 38% from three, which really isn't his forte. He's more of a driver, a dasher, quick guy on offense. And then he's pesky on defense. Long arms, gets in passing lanes, that kind of thing. Decent three-point shooter. He's certainly gotten better as time has gone on, but his numbers are inflated because he's on a bad team. Same thing with Cam Johnson. Cam Johnson's numbers in Phoenix on a good team were okay, and he has certainly gotten better as a player. I'm not saying that he hasn't, but when you're on a bad team, your numbers get inflated. Now go over to the Warriors, especially when they were the Warriors and it was Durant and Curry and Draymond and Clay and all that kind of stuff, and it's hard to get numbers. So the opposite happens. You know, you're Harrison Barnes. When Harrison Barnes got traded initially to Dallas, he's scoring 20 points a game. Well, Dallas wasn't very good, and somebody had to score, and Harrison Barnes went from being like the fourth or fifth option with the Warriors to being the first option with Dallas, and everyone, did they make a mistake? Well, of course they didn't. They got Kevin Durant. But he's scoring 18, 20 points a game, and that's not who Harrison Smith is. So does that make sense? The Tony Campbell rule says somebody's got to score on a bad team, and then you got a situation like the Warriors, and that's been part of the problem, and it's not Steph's problem. But can you, if you're a big-time guy and you're used to having the ball a lot of times in your hands and you're scoring and you're all these kind of things, can you then come over to the Warriors and be a really efficient player in probably, in Dennis Schroeder's case, 6 to 8 minutes less. I think Schroeder will probably play 25, 26 minutes. Steve Kerr said he could potentially start. So let's get into a little bit of the Dennis Schroeder. And here's some highlights. This is back on November. Oh, does somebody really want hot nuts? Is somebody in a bad mood? If you explain to me why you want hot nuts, that sounded weird. If you'll explain to me why you want the song Hot Nuts to make you feel better. And again, you got to listen and watch the show every day because it builds upon itself. So if you're going Hot Nuts, what's wrong with you, Lund? Dirty gutter guy? You're already in the gutter? We're 15 minutes into the show. No, there's a song called Hot Nuts. It's a show. It's a song I've been playing for a lot of years on the radio. Lots of times on Monday when your team stinks or you had a bad day or something like that, I'm kind of like a DJ. Hey, I'm taking a request right now. It's time for Hot Nuts, you know, to make somebody feel better. So if there's a reason why your dog died or something, I'll play Hot Nuts for you. But I'm not going to just do it out of the blue because if you overuse it, then it loses its effect. Here's a little bit of Dennis Schroeder. You may have forgotten. I'm sure you know who he is. But this is back on November 25th, and they won the Nets 128-120. 31-7-5 for Dennis Schroeder. And as you can see, diving into the lane a lot, this is what Dennis Schroeder does. A little short stuff. That's his shot right there from either side of the key. He'll kick it out. Here's an occasional three that he hit right there. You can see that that's not the best form in the world, but Schroeder that night, 128-120, and Schroeder that night had 31, 7 assists, and 5 rebounds. So Dennis Schroeder, not a bad player, but I would just caution you, as everyone looks at those numbers for Dennis Schroeder and says, boy, there's a guy 18.5 points, almost 7 assists a game, 5 boards a game, shooting 38% from three. Wow, he's going to do that on this team. Well, he's not going to get the ball enough on this team. Steve Kerr did say he may start, which kind of surprised me. Buddy Hield, as many of my friends told me who were big Kings fans, and everyone was getting excited around here, Buddy, at the beginning of the season, and all the people who have had him on their team, you know, Indiana last year, Philly, he wasn't even in the rotation, and we're all scratching our head going, how come no one wants this guy? Look how good he is. And now you're kind of seeing because he doesn't do a whole, if he's not hitting shots, he's not doing a whole lot. Not a great passer, not a great defender. He's, you know, there's just not a lot more to his game other than he's jacking threes. And early in the season, he was hot. And so now you're going, okay, now I see it. So Schroeder can take over for some of those minutes in a totally different way. As Steve Kerr said last night after the game, nice pick and roll player. So there's a lot of things he can bring to the table. I'm just cautioning, and I'm not down on this trade at all. It's a great trade. De'Anthony Melton went the other way. Three number two picks went the other way. You're trying to win with Steph. Schroeder's not old, but he's not young. He's 31 years old. He's still got the quicks that he's always had. He's going to get into the lane, as you just saw in the highlights. He's going to be a pest on defense, so that's not a bad thing. Here is Steve Kerr. He's played against Dennis Schroeder, who of course, is originally from Germany. He says he's played against him a lot, and he's glad he's finally on his side.
I'm thrilled. I mean, I told Dennis today he's kicked my ass on three different continents, and that's, you know, so I'm, you know, you can't beat him.
All right, so there's a little bit of Steve Kerr. I told you the stats, if you can read those. He's having a great year this year, as I talked about, 18.5 points a game, well-traveled, Atlanta, OKC, the Lakers, Boston, Houston, Lakers again, Toronto, two with Brooklyn, and now he's a member of the Warriors. And that always kind of gets you going, too, is you get really excited about a guy, and then you go, why the hell has he been on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, like 9 teams, and he's 31? It's like, that scares you a little bit. But again, I'm not here to say that Dennis Schroeder is a bad trade because it's not a bad trade. De'Anthony Melton was out for the season, the three number twos. I don't know what that's going to turn into. But as you're trying to maximize Steph's window, Dennis Schroeder is a nice pickup. But this team has lost 8 of 10. We got excited when they started the way that they started. And I think reality has kind of set in. Will he help? Yes. Will he move the needle and make the Warriors a contender in the Western Conference, which right now I don't think they are? No. They're going to have to make a bigger move, and they're going to have to make a decision. As you and I have talked about many times on the show already, they're going to have to make a decision. Is Jonathan Kuminga a building piece for the future? And I don't mean, you just used the wrong term there. Not a building piece. Is Jonathan Kuminga a building block? There's a big difference between a building piece here. We'll just put you right there. And you're the base of the house. You're the sturdiness. You're going to keep it together. You're holding everything together. To me, that's not Kuminga. Kuminga is a piece. Steph Curry is a base. That's what he is. He's more than a base. He's just, he's holding everything together. And I just don't think Kuminga's that. So I think they are going to come to the conclusion at some point that if we want to maximize Steph's window, while Schroeder is a nice pickup, we've got to use Kuminga in a trade that's going to get us somebody who can really move the needle. And that is not Cam Johnson. It's funny, Bobby Marks over the weekend for ESPN, and everyone went crazy when I did this. We were looking at trades, I don't know, a week, 10 days ago. And instead of Brandon Ingram's name, which everybody brings up when it comes to the Pelicans or one of the top trade targets, and I think that Brandon Ingram would move the needle. I think there's any question about it. But I don't think the Warriors are championship or even Western Conference championship material if they move Kuminga and others to make the salary work and bring in Ingram. I brought up Zion Williamson, and everyone went, oh my God, he can't stay healthy. You're insane and stupid and all these different things. That it's okay. I didn't get offended. It didn't hurt me. I've got rhinoceros skin. It's fine. But I did say that Zion Williamson was a swing for the fences. Brandon Ingram's a nice double, you know, a solid double to left center field that hits the gap and easily cruises into second base. But to me, Zion Williamson is, he's hit and miss. He's a home run swing. If he can stay healthy, nobody in the NBA, I think I'm pretty confident in saying this, nobody in the NBA is like Zion Williamson. Now, that's good and bad. At 6'6 and about 285, 290 pounds, he's a bull in a china shop. You can't help him. You can't defend him. And if he could develop more of a, you know, get out to the three-point line, which he's young enough to do, he's not the greatest defender, but he does have a ton of upside. But the big if, and we talk about ifs all the time, how many ifs you have determines your team's success a lot of times. If you got too many, you're not going anywhere. If Zion Williamson can stay healthy, and right now he's not even healthy. But I'd rather swing for the fences on somebody like that, who I really think could be a building piece. And I think he has more upside to be a building piece than Jonathan Kuminga. So tell me I'm crazy. I know that you will. You're not shy. At John Lund Radio on Twitter and all the other social media accounts. And right here in the chat. And if you're listening or watching later, then make sure you hit it up in the comments section and I will get to it. All right. Is that enough on Schroeder? Did you need to see the depth chart for the Warriors? I don't think you do. I think you know, but there you go. In some way, shape, or form, that is not exactly right. I think I stole that from ESPN. They don't have it exactly right, but there's Schroeder. They did put Schroeder in there. I would imagine that Schroeder's going to start in that kind of a lineup, but we'll see as far as Kuminga is concerned. But it sounds more and more like they didn't want to include him in a trade for Cam Johnson, but it seems to me that they're getting closer and closer to potentially putting him in some deal. All right, that is your Warriors thought, and that is some thoughts on Dennis Schroeder. I'd love to get your thoughts as well. What do you think of the Dennis Schroeder trade? Yeah, Kyle, you're right. Foundation piece. Thank you. The foundation, not the core, not the base, the foundation. Steph is a foundation. He's the entire foundation. To me, I never see Kuminga being that, but he's really young. There's no question about it. Marco says, how would you try to go for younger talent or bring more veterans to help Steph? Would you go to get younger talent or bring in more veterans? I'm looking for a guy. I know this is impossible, but I've said this for years and years and years and years and years, and I don't know if it's possible because I don't know what the real value of Jonathan Kuminga is around the league. I don't think anybody does, but it varies from team to team, and it only takes one. I'm looking for a guy who's in the prime of his career who can be both the bridge to the help for Steph right now and a bridge to the future. And if I'm the Warriors, that's what I'm looking for as well. And I look at Kuminga at his age, I just don't think it's going to time out right. Will Kuminga be a really good player in this league? It's very possible. But the problem is on the timeline of Steph. By the time Steph is ready to go, and this is his age 37 season, and although we look at Steph and we think he's going to play forever, a lot of times with athletes, it's like this, 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 this. And it's not this. It's not the gradual as you're watching on the YouTube channel. I'm doing these stair steps. It's not that. A lot of times it's just off the cliff. So Steph isn't the overly athletic type who just, it does go off the cliff. He's got so many different elements to his game. I think it will be kind of a slow bleed with Steph and not a quick one. But that's why for a lot of people, you look at Ingram, he's in the prime. You look at Zion, he's a little bit younger. You look at, I think Giannis is a pipe dream. Everybody talks about Giannis because he's in a small market in Milwaukee, and anytime they struggle, like they did at the beginning of the season with Doc Rivers, like they did at the end of last season with Doc Rivers, everybody says, oh, Giannis is going to want out. Giannis is going to want out. He's never said he's wanted out. Never. It's just because we think guys in the past have done it. Anthony Davis, James Harden, go on down the line. Everybody just says, look, I gave you a chance. I gave you long enough. Kevin Durant, I gave you long enough, original team. I'm going to want out at some point. And Giannis hasn't ever said that. Giannis has never demanded out of Milwaukee. Giannis has never said, I don't want to be in a small market. And I said this last week. You know, it doesn't matter if you're in a small market anymore. Everybody's global. Giannis is in Milwaukee. He's a global superstar. He doesn't need to be in a major market. Now, the NBA might want some of these guys in a bigger market. Like Zion Williamson wanted to go to New York. They'd probably prefer that. They'd probably prefer all their guys in major markets versus smaller markets. But it doesn't mean if you're a player, you can't be a global superstar. Like back in the day when Shaq was drafted by the Orlando Magic, 1991, I think I'm correct in that. He's in Orlando. The league behind the scenes, because I was covering the league back then, the league behind the scenes is like, we got to get Shaq somewhere else. Hi, everybody. I'm in Orlando. It's like, no, that's not going to work. But times have changed, and that's just not the way things are. But everybody has always said Giannis. That's been the name. Could they get him? I don't know. Podziemski's not a trade piece that probably anybody wants right now. He's going to go to the bench thanks to Dennis Schröder. Jonathan Kuminga, like I said, I don't know what people think of Jonathan Kuminga, but I don't think it's Giannis. But to answer your question in a roundabout way, as I often do, I just want a guy who's in the prime, who can help Steph now, and who can be a bridge to later. A foundation piece. Thank you very much. It's Monday. My brain's a little slow, but a foundation piece. And that's a really tough thing to do. But San Antonio did it. They got Kawhi Leonard. They drafted him. You know, the Lakers in the not so much the Celtics because Len Bias passed away, but he would have been that piece. He would have been the both. He would have extended it. Kawhi Leonard did it for San Antonio. Lots of guys have done it through for the Lakers lots of times because they signed guys, but Kobe Bryant kept it going. Shaq kept it going when he got there on the trade. You got to get that piece that can be now and later. Terrible candy. It sticks to your dental work. But that's what you're looking for. You're looking for a guy who can do both. So does that make sense? Let's see. Johnny, keep up the great work. Lynn, thank you. It is great to see you. Monica, good morning, Mr. Lund. Mr. Lund is my father, but that is also me. Monica, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. A foundation sensation. Rocking New Era 84. It is not Monday for you, man. You are fire right now. A foundation sensation. I don't know if Tim Roy has that. Tim Roy has that copyrighted, but a foundation sensation. That's what we're looking for. And I don't know that he can be that. Well, Kuminga can. Packers won 30-13. They improved to 10-4. Let's get into that conversation, too. I think it's just more frustration. We know what the 49ers season is, but I think there's some frustration there. Let me make sure that I'm not missing. Lund ain't going to be liberal with hot nuts. Yeah, I'm not, Tacky. I'm not going to be liberal with hot nuts because I think that if I play it too much, then people are going to go, that's a boring bit. It's got to be for a reason that we're all down. Now, there can be special things that could happen with it. Like, we're really tight with our dog. I used that up before. If your dog dies and you need hot nuts today, you know what? I got to play it. If grandma dies, his hot nuts probably not. That's a bad example. It's terrible. All right. Just want to make sure. We can always go back to words, but I was just making sure that everybody had their questions answered. And again, if you came in late and you didn't get a question answered in regard to the Schröder trade or giving up 143 or Clay coming back and kind of the push and pull that you're getting with Clay every time he comes back, season high in points 29, season high in 3-7, season or a record between the two teams, the Mavericks and the Warriors, 48 threes last night, but giving up 143 and Luka basically did whatever he wanted. Yeah, no hot nuts for grandma who's passed away. That's probably not great. Good morning, Lund. Hi, Glenn. It says, and everyone just tuned in. Have you talked about a report about Brock Purdy asking for $60 million? Heard about it and not sure if it's true or speculation. We're going to talk about it right now. You are absolutely 100% on point. And we will discuss Brock Purdy and where this thing came from. First and foremost, let's start here. This is the NFC West right now. And again, we'll get back to Warriors, or if you got thoughts, at John Lund Radio. Good morning. It is John Lund Unleashed on a Monday, and we're already on fire. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, you can see that meme that everybody uses, what it was and what it is. So that's Spider-Man, right? The NFC West through, 5 weeks? Cardinals 4-1. Niners 4-2, Seahawks 3-2, and there's the Rams because they had all those injuries on the offensive line, plus Puka was out and Kupp was out. We're all thinking to ourselves, man, the Rams are cooked. What else we got? Now you look fast forward to today after the Seahawks got absolutely smashed at home, literally. I mean, just Josh Jacobs just ran the ball right down their throat, and they could not do anything about it. So the Rams now improve to 8-6 with the win over the 49ers on Thursday. The Seahawks fall to 8-6. Cardinals beat the Patriots at home yesterday, 7-7. And the 49ers, of course, lost to the Rams in that slog, at least in the first half. They are 6-8. So the thing that would bother me today as a 49ers fan, and I'm speaking for you, and as I often say, I don't speak well for the fans, and you could say you're crazy, is that you look at that 6-8 with all the injuries and all the weirdness and all the things. I don't need to explain it with Devontae Campbell being the latest, and I'll explain that part of the story in just a second, and I promise right after that we'll get to Brock Purdy because that demands a lot of time today. Although I don't think it's surprising or really that big of news, but I think people are making it news, but we'll discuss, and I'll explain kind of how agents work and all that kind of stuff. But you're looking at the Niners in this bad division going, they're 6-8. Had they beaten the Rams, I know they didn't, but had they, they'd be 7-7. The Rams would be 7-7. And the Seahawks are just sitting there at 8-6. And by the way, the Seahawks play at Sam Darnold and the Vikings. That I think the Seahawks are at best going to go 9-8. That's, I think this division could be won at 9-8 or even 8-9. The Rams have a fairly favorable schedule. I think the Rams are going to win this division. But still, you look at this and say, you blew a 10-point lead against the Rams. And then you had the Rams not playing very well. And you could have easily won that football game with a couple of better decisions from Brock Purdy and a catch from Deebo Samuel. And I know this is ands and ifs and buts. And as Bill Parcells says, your record is what you are. That's just, that's what it is. Your record is 6-8. And that's who the 49ers are. And with the injuries and weirdness and all those kind of things. But as I'm watching Seattle last night get absolutely smoked by the Packers. By the way, the white uniforms for the Packers, you don't have to be a Packers fan. Those are nice. Versus the green lime vomit of the Seahawks. What is that called? Volt or something like that? Volt or puke or whatever it is. Nuclear puke. The nuclear puke uniforms of the Seahawks last night. My God. What the hell, bro? I guess people are buying those. They have to because that thing's been around for a while. But this nice, clean, white uniform of the Packers, you're like, man, that is nice. And then the Seahawks come on your TV and you're like, ah, what in that? What is that? But 30-13, and they're just not very good. So that's the NFC West side of things. Now, Devondre Campbell is an interesting story. I would have handled this differently, but I'm knee-jerk in this kind of stuff. So you see the story right above my head there. If you're watching on the YouTube channel on John Lund Unleashed on this Monday, John Lynch reportedly was the one who confronted Devondre Campbell and sent him to the 49ers locker room after refusing to play on Thursday. To be a fly on the wall when John Lynch, because John Lynch, if you don't know him, obviously a ferocious football player, Stanford educated, played baseball. He's one of the nicest guys you could ever meet. When I was working with Tolbert in the afternoon, we had John Lynch on every single week, and I was doing pre-half and post-game, and if you go up to the press level at Levi's Stadium, there's just one level. So there, everybody is there. So the players go up there. They're in a room. If they're on injured reserve, John Lynch is up there and everything. And not one time, I'm not kidding you, not one time did I pass John Lynch in which he didn't stop, shake my hand, and give me a minute. Every single time. I'm not joking. We did for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, we did drafts, and the 49ers were so nice to us that they sat us right next to the draft room in this big room, and they bring in steaks and vegetables and drinks and all this stuff. And then John and Kyle would check in every once in a while after draft picks, and they were just brutally honest and nice. John Lynch is a good guy, but you know what he is? He's like the Incredible Hulk. You know, nice guy, nice mannered man. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. And so I'm sure Devondre Campbell found out the Incredible Hulk side of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I like the Hulk better. I like that comparison better, but I'm sure John Lynch, and he would flip that switch on the football field. But this guy who is mild mannered, nice, we know this about Kyle. Kyle's kind of the hothead. You need the kind of good cop, bad cop thing. And that's what the 49ers have going, where Kyle kind of can fly off the handle. And then John Lynch, if you've ever heard him on interviews, John Lynch is always Mr. Positive. He's always real positive, and he'll, you know, he's a little bit more diplomatic. He's a little bit more political. Kyle is, he told us on day one he was hired. He's just not a very good liar. He's not really good at, you know, playing that political game. John is perfect at it. So for John Lynch to get that worked up, not be on a football field as a player, and to get that worked up over this Devondre Campbell situation, that's major. But again, he was a player, so he knows, and there's a code, that unwritten rule. You can't quit. You can't quit. In fact, that's not even a player code. That's not even a sports code. Like, could you imagine in your office? I don't know if you've ever had this happen. I'll be honest with you now that I think about it. I did quit a job one time right in the middle of it. But it's kind of like that code. Like, you can't do that. You can't, in the middle of a game, Ricky Pearsall got shot and he's playing. Like, guys are, they're trying to get on the field with everything they have. George Kittle at this point of the season, too, all the injuries and guys are nicked up and guys are trying to play. Their season was on the line Thursday. Had they won, as we just talked about, as crazy as this season has had and as many injuries as they've had, they'd be right in the middle of this thing. And Devondre Campbell's like, nah, I'm good. So what the 49ers have done with this whole thing, and stick a pin in this because I have quit in the middle of a job now. So maybe I'm a hypocrite because of this. So stick a pin and remind me on the text line because I may forget about this whole thing. But the story about Devondre Campbell is what I would have done, cut him, don't care. Don't care about the ramifications. Don't care about the cap. Don't care. I want him out of a building. I don't want him on my roster. I don't want it to say San Francisco 49ers and whatever weird list that I got to put him on. It says Devondre Campbell, number 59 over here. I don't want him anywhere near my team. Don't care if he goes to another team. Don't care if he plays the playoffs. Don't care if he gets money for those playoffs. My initial thought is, no team's going to pick him up this year or any year. Like if I was down linebackers and I needed a linebacker next year and somebody in my room said Devondre Campbell, I'd say before his full name was no, like that fast. A guy who quit on his team during the game in which they were trying to keep their season alive and you want me to sign that guy? No chance. I would never give him a chance in the league. But what the 49ers have done, they've put him on a reserved list so that they can find him, potentially get some signing bonus money back, and he can't go to another team. So they've basically put him into exile is what they've done, which is the smart thing to do, because that's when Kyle said last week, well, we're still working through it. And I was thinking to myself, working through what? Writing the name Devondre Campbell and cut and turning it into the league? With a bunch of exclamation points behind it and loser and all the things that you could draw in there and write on there, but they're being smart. That's why I'm not in their position, because I'd be emotional. I would just be like knee jerk and I'd be like, that guy's out of here. They're going to really stick it to him, which is smart. All right. Give me your thoughts. I think the Niners are trying to suspend him, high rocking, and get back some of the signing bonus. That's exactly what they're doing. Smart. John Lynch is the polished GM. He is. He's an American psycho. Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what it is. I would have liked to have seen John Lynch confront him. John Lynch is, I don't know, 50-something years old. Can somebody look that up so I don't have to and let me know? But he just went into player mode. He just went into player mode. Like, I will fight you right now. You're going to quit on this team? You're going to quit on this team? Man. JP from the 510, welcome. I don't know that we have talked before. It is great to have you here. Thank you. Rams did us a favor. Old Yeller, the Niners 2024 season, which was destined to fail since BA held out. Niners need the reset. I'm not disagreeing with you there. I'm simply looking at this season saying, if you're trying to salvage something out of the season, you're looking at Seattle last night going, that team's going to win this division? The Rams are getting healthier, kind of like what the 49ers usually do at this point of the season. But I'm not looking at the Rams in the playoffs and thinking to myself, well, they could really do something. I just don't see it. Lynch is 53. Thank you, JP. Thank you, Rockin'. You guys are the best. I'm lazy on a Monday. I'm like, I don't want to look it up. And you guys do it for me. So you guys are the best. Really, really appreciate it. Hey, it's John Lund Unleashed on a Monday edition of the show. Remember, not only here on the YouTube channel, but we're all over the place at John Lund Radio on just about any social media platform you can get. And if you can't stay with the show the entire time, and we just get on at 8 a.m. or something like that, and we go as long as we need to go. And on a Monday edition of the show, we have a ton of things to get to. And if you can't stay with us, then right away, right after the show, literally, I take the audio version of it and we send it out. And so you can listen to it and you can have it on your car. And that's it's anywhere. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you like to get your stuff. All right, let's finally get to, do I have a graphic on Brock? I do not. Let's get to Brock Purdy. Now, this isn't surprising. I think it's a discussion point. I think it's worthy of talk. And as we said before, this is the greatness of this forum. We don't have to break. We don't have to talk about anything. We only talk about the things that are the best things to talk about. So it's like the center cut of the filet. We don't have any fat on the show, except for me. But we don't have any fat. We just talk about the filet. We talk about the center cut. And to me, this Brock Purdy conversation is relevant. Diana Rossini, which is somebody who I really, really like. We had on plenty of times. Very good friend of Mike Silver. She does a podcast, too, with Chase Daniel, who's the smartest man alive. Chase Daniel held a clipboard for, I don't know, 10 or 12 years. Saints, Chargers, number of different teams. And I think he made about 45 to $50 million. And he doesn't have any problems. He's not going to have CTE. Went to Missouri, was a big deal, All-American, and just kind of, I think he was behind Drew Brees for a long time. He was just, you know, kind of bounced around to maybe four, five, six different teams. Never really had to play, never got exposed, which is the greatest thing ever. Remember Kyle Bowler when he got exposed on the Raiders and Carson Palmer had to go in there, and it was like, Kyle Bowler, the former Cal quarterback, he could throw it from his knees to the goalpost. Great, but he can't play quarterback. Yeah, you hold that clipboard forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But then the worst thing is, hey, you're in there. And you're like, oh, I'm going to get exposed. I'm going to get cut. I just want to be on the sidelines and get money. And if they find out how bad I am, then I'm done. I'm going to get cut. So anyway, he got $45, $50 million. And he's on a podcast with Diana Rossini. And she reported over the weekend that Brock Purdy wants top dollar. He is not giving the 49ers a hometown discount. He wants to be the highest paid quarterback in the league. And so everybody kind of went, oh, we thought Brock was giving us a discount. I don't know why people thought that. And give me your thoughts on this. I'd love to have a conversation. We always love having a conversation about the quarterback. But the way this whole thing works, and you know it, but I'm just going to remind you of this. The way this whole thing works in every single sport, if you're next up, you have a lot of pressure on you to move this thing forward for everybody. So even if Brock Purdy wanted to, and he doesn't because he's been underpaid this whole time. And so his agents are going to say this money that he's made, he's making like $1 million this year. He's making some money off the field, obviously being a bad actor, but he's making about $1 million this year. I think he's the 81st highest paid quarterback in the league, not player, quarterback in the league, barely over $1 million. So what his agent is going to do, first of all, let's do a little agent speak. He's going to take that $4 million over the 4 years and say, okay, if you take that money and then you take the $60 million or $65 million, we talked about this on Friday, Bill Barnwell of ESPN was projecting a five-year 365 or five-year 350, whatever, comes out to $65 million a year, so whatever that math is. And he was saying that he thinks Brock's going to get $65 million a year because Dak got $65 million a year, and that's the going rate. You don't have to be better than Dak. You don't have to be better than Mahomes. You don't have to be better than Josh Allen, who's playing the position higher than anybody right now. You just have to be the latest. And you don't have to be great, as we've talked about. You just have to be good. So good that the team that you play for doesn't have another choice. And they don't. It's not like receiver or running back or any other position in any sport. Not just the NFL. Any sport. You can't find enough of these guys. It's just the way it goes. So he's going to be the highest paid. So agent speak one is, he's going to take the contract that he's got so far, about $1 million, and he's going to add all this money to it, and then he's going to do the math on like 7 years plus these 4 years and say, yeah, you're still getting him at a bargain. That averages like $25 million a year. That is a bargain. So that's the way he's going to do it. The second part of the agent speak here is he has no choice. Even if Brock Purdy wanted to, and he doesn't because he's been underpaid, but even if Brock Purdy said, you know what, I really didn't have a good year this year, I'm going to give the 49ers a hometown discount. They're the ones who gave me this opportunity. I love Kyle. I love being here. My family's close in Arizona. This is the greatest. I just got married. Ah, shucks. I'm humble old Brock Purdy. I don't need to make very much money. He doesn't talk like that. He couldn't do that because the NFL Players Association would be like, Brock, what are you doing? You're screwing everybody up. So everybody has a responsibility, especially on their first big one. They all have a responsibility to take the most money, to get the most money. Brock will stay out of this. This is between his agent and the 49ers. He won't be in there for a second. He'll just know when the deal is done, and he's got his big money. He's got a responsibility to the rest of the league to continue to push the number up. That's the next guy up, and it's going to be Brock. So Brock, you got to get $65 or $70 million, because if you don't, then that gives the man a chance to say, well, Brock Purdy just settled for 50. Are you better than Brock Purdy? So Trevor Lawrence gets the 55. Joe Burrow's better, but gets the 55 because he was the latest. Tua, I think, gets 52. Dak Prescott gets 65. So his agents are going to look right at Dak 65 and say, who's better? Pretty obvious, isn't it? He's beaten Dak a couple of times. They have ownage over the Cowboys. You look at the numbers last year, this year, you know, Dak's been out. Brock hasn't been as good, but they were neck and neck as far as every stat, every positive stat for quarterbacks in 2023. Dak and Brock Purdy were the two guys. In fact, I think that was Dak second in the MVP voting. I think he was. So he's not going to take a discount. So when I read that over the weekend, to go back to a question from about 10 or 15 minutes ago, so when I read over the weekend from Diana Rossini that Brock is not going to give the 49ers a home down discount, he wants every dime he can get. And so then that went viral and everybody was freaking out. Oh my God, Brock's going to take all the money. That's a surprise to you? He doesn't have a choice. Little old Brock. He doesn't need a lot. He's been living on $1 million and a couple of Toyota commercials and a farm seating commercial and all those kind of things. He has a responsibility to get the money. The Players Association demands that he does. His agent and the ego of said agent is not going to take less money for Brock Purdy. Even if Brock Purdy went to the agent and said, look, man, I want a home down discount. I don't want to make this a pain in the ass. And I realize that that guy works for Brock. He's going to say to Brock, look, man, I can get you 60 or more, but don't ask me to give you down to $30 or $40 million, because then my next clients are looking at me going, what kind of agent do I have? So that's kind of the behind the scenes thing. And I'm sure you know that. I'm just bringing it to light once again and reminding everyone it's not just Brock's decision. It's the whole league, the NFLPA is going to put pressure on him. His agent is not going to negotiate a smaller contract, especially. And here's, you're probably thinking to yourself one thing. So I'll stick a pin in that one too and pop that balloon. Well, guys in the past have done it. Brady has done it. There's been a few guys who have taken less money. Why can't Brock take less money so that the 49ers can be more successful? The only time that happens is when that player, Tom Brady's case, LeBron, Jordan, that's the level, Steph Curry, but those guys haven't done that. But what I'm saying is the only time you would do that is because you're so far ahead of the game and you have so much money that money is not really the driving factor and championships and legacy are. Brock hasn't even won one. So Brock, and he's not set for life, even though he's doing well, and he would be set for life if he was me or you. But he's not set for life. So that first one, that first big one that you get after the rookie deal is up in any sport, that is the one that's going to support your family and generations of family, and it's about money. After it's about money, then it can be about winning. Now, for some guys, it's never about winning, and it's always about chasing the dollars. Brock Purdy seems like a guy to me, not knowing him in this sense, that at some point, if he won a couple of Super Bowls and had a bunch of money and all those kind of things, because certainly acting is not going to pay the bills for him, after that, after a couple of Super Bowls, whatever, he might take less money, but not now, for all the reasons that I talked about. And then a baseline kind of brick for the show is, it's always about the money. It's always about the money. It just is. So when guys say it's not, they're lying. It's always about the money, because money equals respect. And Brock Purdy was underpaid. He's going to get, you know, he wants to get his respect. And for all those very reasons, he would never have taken less money. So to me, this is not a story. I never thought that Brock wasn't going to give a discount. It's not a home down discount. He's not from the Bay Area. It's not a discount. The Niners didn't pay him a bunch of money. It's not a discount. They took him in the seventh round. I mean, if they really loved him in the first place, they wouldn't have waited to the seventh round. So there's no hometown discount. There's none of those kind of things. And this is a story, but it's not. Does that make sense? It's a story, but in my mind, and I think you knew this too, they weren't going to not pay Brock. He wasn't going to not ask for the most money. There was no hometown discount. There was no, hey, Brock, we found you out of Iowa State. Give us a break. None of that stuff makes sense. Greg says, sign Darnold. I've said that quite a few times, tried it a few more times this weekend to friends and family. That was kind of the response. All I'm saying is that when they're around the big mahogany table and they're making decisions on the offseason, it must be discussed. It is number one on the agenda of all the things, and there are numerous things on the agenda. Who they're going to cut, who they're going to keep, who they're going to draft, how they're going to shape this team, how they're going to get better in the trenches, all these things that you and I have discussed over the last couple of weeks. Number one on the agenda, when they get to the offseason discussion and talk with Jed York in the room and John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan and all the powers that be, the number one thing is going to be Brock Purdy. And it cannot be like, you know, a Hall of Famer that's just automatic. Just, you know, automatic Hall of Famer. Barry Bonds. Oh, what? So an automatic Hall of Famer that they, you know, the Hall of Famers are sitting around and they're saying, is there any discussion this guy's in, right? You know, Ken Griffey Jr., you know, Derek Jeter, Joe Montana, Peyton Manning, Brady. Like, you don't even have to have a discussion, right? The creme de la creme, the upper tier, the upper crust, the one percenters, the guys who were in on the first ballot. You don't even have a discussion about those guys. In regards to Brock Purdy, if that's what you think in his contract talks, I think that the 49ers would be wrong. That it, Brock's, hi, everybody. It's great to be here at the offseason discussion. Brock Purdy contract. Anybody have a problem with getting him $60, $65 million? All right, let's go to number two. Like, the discussion has to be, how are we going to maximize everything? Are we sure that we're giving Brock this money? Does Sam Darnold want to come back? What does Sam Darnold, just for the heck of it, want to come back for? 3 years and $75 million? Geez, Brock wants, what did Bill Barnwell say? It was five and 325 is what it was. Do we want to give Brock 325 and five over five? Do we want to give Sam Darnold 75 over three? And then we can sign a lot more guys on our team. Be a lot easier for that offensive and defensive lines to get back and nasty and smash mouth football if we're paying a guy 25 a year versus 60 or 65. Nope. I mean, at least have the conversation. That's all I'm saying. But then everybody's just crushing me on it. Oh, you got to be kidding me. I'm just saying. Got to have the conversation. 8 a.m. Monday meetings are the worst. Does this feel like a meeting to you? I do. Oh, do you have a meeting? Do you have just have headphones on and you're just not paying attention? Some people like to have meetings to have meetings. Doesn't that drive you crazy? I worked for ESPN for a number of years, and we had a meeting every Monday, and we had to talk about... So there was, we were an owned and operated station in Dallas by ESPN. And there was Pittsburgh, Dallas, LA, New York, all the major markets. And you had this 8 a.m. meeting every Monday that you had to be at. And it was a Zoom type of meeting. And you'd talk about what your station was doing. And I felt bad because I knew everyone was busy and you could see everybody madly working on a Monday morning. And I'm like, here's what we have going on. And I was just like, oh, I hate that I'm doing this. And then I did the same thing when okay, let's go to New York. And I was just like, not listening to anything that they had to say. It's like, come on. I don't need to know, especially on a Monday morning. What are you, insane? All right, any thoughts on Brock? Brock, do you have the conversation? Do you think Sam Darnold... Were you surprised about that story over the weekend? I just wanted to. Azul says, isn't it reported that Sam would get $40 million? I wouldn't give Sam $40 million. If Sam Darnold's getting $40 million, then Brock's getting $60. Easy. Shouldn't say easy, but it's crazy. Yeah, four more seasons. It's an average of $10 million increase every year. How soon will we see $100 million a season for a quarterback? Let's put that in perspective. That is a great question. Who put that out there? Rockin'. Joe Montana was the first $1 million quarterback. Think about this. Joe Montana in 1989 was the first $1 million a year quarterback. And now we are 35 years later and we're talking about 60 to 65. I would think, let's see, we're in 2024. Definitely before 2030, by the end of this decade, they're going to be $100 million quarterbacks. $100 million per season. I mean, what's that? $5 million a game? We're going to be at 18 games by that point as well. We'll be in 18 games, probably not next season, but the season after that. They was never going to be 17. 17's weird. You got 9 home games, 8 road. Then the next year, it's 9 road, 8 home. Like, let's get it to 18 and 2 preseason games. Nobody wants to deal with a preseason anyway. It's crazy. All right, any thoughts on that? Greg's, see, you're starting to see this. Greg said, get a top 10 pick for him. Let me go to Tankathon this morning and see where we are after this week. Tankathon.com. You can probably do this faster than I can. Where are they? This is something I talked about last week, but I want to be accurate. All right. The Giants and the Raiders are 1 and 2. They're both going to take quarterbacks. Cam Ward is going to go 2. and Shedeur Sanders is going to go one. I would not want to be in the Shedeur Sanders business, but 1-2. New England's got a quarterback at 3. Jacksonville's got a quarterback, unfortunately, at 4. Carolina's got one at 5. The Cleveland Browns lied straight through their teeth this weekend and said that Deshaun Watson was going to remain their quarterback. No, he's not. They're sitting at 7. They need a quarterback. Jets, Aaron Rodgers. Adios, amigo. Enjoy the ayahuasca. He's at 8. The Jets are at 8. They need a quarterback. Chicago's at 9. They're good with a quarterback. 10. New Orleans could use a quarterback with Derek Carr's latest. 11. Okay, so let's not go too far down. By the way, the 49ers are at 15. 15 for the 49ers. Tank, 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 tank. 15 is where the 49ers sit right now. But for the sake of this conversation, Tennessee at 6 with Will Levis. Cleveland at 7. Jets at 8 all need a quarterback. If Tennessee, the Cleveland, or the Jets at 6, 7, or 8 called and said, I'll give you a 1 and a 3 for Brock Purdy. And if I'm one of those teams, do I want to take a chance on a rookie quarterback? Remember, rookie quarterbacks are less than 50-50. Brock Purdy is maybe doesn't have the ceiling, but would you rather have right now? I can offer you, hey, buddy, let's make a deal. I think it's Wayne Brady who's doing that show and has done it for years, so it's not Monty Hall showing my age. But door number one is Shedeur Sanders. Door number two is Cam Ward. Door number three is Brock Purdy. I'll take door number three, Johnny. Tell him what he's won, Brock Purdy. Solid quarterback. So if you're picking at 6, 7, or 8, Tennessee, Cleveland, or the Jets, and you all need a quarterback, especially the Jets at 8, who's going to be their quarterback? They have nothing. They're not. The Rodgers isn't going to be there next year. So 6, 7, or 8, Tennessee, Cleveland, or the Jets. Just me and you talking. Would you take one of those picks for Brock? What if they give you a 1 and a 3 for Brock? And now you sign Sam Darnold. You have a bunch more money. And if Greg is right, I think it was Greg who said he heard $40 million for Darnold. $40 million for Darnold? He's having a great year. But this is the first great year he's had in his career. $40 million is a lot. The only way I would do that with Darnold is low guarantees and low years. That's what I would do. So let's say that next year, and teams do this all the time, Geno Smith signed a contract. When he took over for Russell Wilson in that first year, he showed some promise. The Seahawks, I think, gave him 25 a year, but there was a bunch of dummy years behind it, and they could get out of it at any time, and that's probably what's going to happen with Sam Darnold. So if you're right, I think it was Greg who said it, and if it's not, and I'm not giving you credit, let me go back here. Who said that? But what you would do with Darnold is you'd give him a contract that literally looked fat up front. You'd give him a decent amount of money, a decent signing bonus. Because he's only really shown it for 1 year with the Vikings, he's got 28 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He's shown it for 1 year. What you would do is you'd have a bunch of dummy years on the back end of that, and it looked big, but you could get out of it at any time. That's what Seattle did with Geno Smith, and then he's on a series, essentially, of one-year contracts. And that's the same thing you would do with Sam Darnold. They would at least give you flexibility if he wasn't as good. But if one of those teams wants to give the 49ers a top 10 pick, again, I'm going back to the mahogany table, you have to talk about it. You have to. It's what you do as an organization. You very rarely will say, yep, this is what we're going to do 100%. That's why, and this is educational today, you know about lying season. It's basically every day now in every single league. But lying season, so I think it was Rossini as well. Might have been Jay Glazer. I think it was Diana Rossini as well who said, oh, no. It was Ian Rappaport before last Sunday's games. Before the Bears game. And he came out with that report that said the 49ers are signing Brock Purdy to a contract. That's not true. Because in the offseason, depending on how he finishes this season, he has not had the type of season in which you say 100%. John, before you put pen to paper on your end and sign that contract, or I guess Jed York would do that, Tennessee's on the phone and they want to give you the 6th overall pick and a 3rd round pick for Brock. So do you want to sign that, or do you want to at least have conversations with 3 teams in the top 10 who won't be able to get one of the marquee quarterbacks in Sanders or Ward, but at 6, 7, and 8 sit there in the top 10? And by the way, if I was the Giants or the Raiders, I would make that move. Because Shedeur Sanders is not a sure thing. And what's funny about Cam Ward, and you know this because you're a college football fan, he played at Washington State for a few years. He didn't have this kind of fanfare. Who said last year when Cam Ward finished at Washington State that he was going to be a top 5 pick? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? No. No one said that. No one said Cam Ward, who was at Washington State, was a top 5 pick. All of a sudden, he goes to a major program in Miami, the glitz and glamour of Miami, and he's a top 2 pick? I like him.
I mean, I watched him come back in that Cal game, and you know, he's had a good year. I'm not saying he hasn't, but you're going to take him at two. Best of luck. Brock Purdy will give you solid quarterback play. I don't love that he's going to make $65 million. He will give you solid quarterback play, and I would bet on Brock Purdy more than I would Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. I think he's going to have a better career than both those guys. I'm not a Shedeur Sanders guy. Could be 100% wrong. I'm not a Cam Ward guy. Could be 100% wrong. I don't think those guys are going to be flops, but I thought Trevor Lawrence was going to be better. I mean, just go back and look at the Trey Lance draft, in which you took Trevor Lawrence one, you took Wilson two, you took Trey three, Justin Fields is in that. It's like, you just don't know. You know, Mahomes was a 10 pick. Lamar Jackson was the last pick of the first round. You just don't know. It's a crapshoot. You don't. You think you do. Even in Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck coming out of Stanford was like, that guy's going to the Hall of Fame. Oh, my God, he's behind a terrible offensive line. He's banged up. He's out of the league at, what, 27? That's not a Hall of Fame career. He was really good. But everybody expects, oh, he was a top 10 pick. He's going to be awesome. Like, I'm watching Jordan Love last night. I went to Utah State. I watched Jordan Love. He was wildly inconsistent. When the Packers took him, I thought, no way. Sits on the sidelines for a couple of years, which you can't afford to do most of the time. He develops into a great quarterback. I think a lot of these guys, I think the biggest problem with the NFL, not to go off on this tangent, but the biggest problem with the NFL is they got to play these guys right away, especially in a place like New York. Who does New York have next year at quarterback? Hey, it's Tommy DeVito. He could start the whole year. No, he can't. That wasn't that bad. Especially for a Monday. I didn't even know I was going to do that. And Drew Locke? I mean, whoever gets drafted, let's say it's Shedeur Sanders, whoever gets drafted by New York, he's got to play right away. And Malik Nabers is okay. I mean, they're decent. They've put some money, some picks into the offensive line. But if you don't succeed right away in New York and Shedeur Sanders is walking around and thinking he's all that at CU and Boulder, you go into New York, they're screaming at you right away. You got to be great right away. And that's the mental side that these guys break down on. Look at these guys coming back. Sam Darnold was beat up in New York. Literally, his mind, his confidence, pretty decent player now. Geno Smith. I mean, you go through this and all these guys have rehabbed themselves, sat on the sideline, and all of a sudden they're pretty decent. If you could do that at the beginning of your career, like you used to be able to do years ago, and you could actually learn the NFL game, know the offense, be confident. It happened with Aaron Rodgers. I'm not saying it's every guy. Mahomes had a year to sit. If you're bad, you're bad. I think Trey Lance could sit forever. He just didn't get enough time. But the NFL is not good at developing quarterbacks. You better be developed, and you better be confident, and you better be bulletproof before you get here. Because if you aren't, the league's going to eat you up, and then you're going to have to rehab somewhere and regain your confidence. It's difficult to do. So those guys are going to get picked by the Giants and the Raiders, 1-2, 2-1, whatever. But I'm just go back to our original thought here. I wouldn't say no to a meeting. I would not say no to a meeting with the guys at 6, 7, and 8 right now, Tennessee, Cleveland, and the Jets, who all need quarterbacks. I would at least talk to them. Ernie, good morning. Good morning, Lundy. Urban Meyer, yeah, that's a great point, Jacob. Urban Meyer. How was he supposed to succeed? Urban Meyer was his coach. Wasn't he groping college students? My God. Yeah, Rockin's right. 60 to 65 million is unfortunately the current market for quarterbacks. And it doesn't matter if you're great. It matters if your contract is up. It matters if you're the latest. That's what matters more than anything. All right, that's enough on the 49ers. We went crazy on that for a second. Can I get a palate cleanser really quickly? Just a quick palate cleanser. And then we have, what else do we have left today on the board? Started shopping Madden and Caboose. By the way, if I've missed anything, this is a good time for a palate cleanser. Happy Monday. I hope you were absolutely great. We're about an hour into the show today. We have talked a ton of stuff. We talked about Dennis Schroeder. If you missed it, all you have to do after the show, go back and you can watch it again. That's the greatness. One of the differences with radio is once you do radio, it's kind of over. Here, you can just start at the beginning. So we talked a lot about Dennis Schroeder. We talked about Klay Thompson coming back, scoring 29, a season high 7 3-pointers, a lot less fanfare. He was relaxed before the game, after the game. You saw the interviews. I played some of them for you. You can go back and do that. I like the Schroeder trade a lot. They gave up DeAnthony Melton, who was out for the year, so that's no loss. And 3 number 2s, probably not a loss, although Draymond Green was a second rounder. Gilbert Arenas was a second rounder. So, yeah, second rounders come through every now and again, but you're giving up 3. I think it's a good choice. Dennis Schroeder is 31 years old. You've seen him play plenty of times. He is quick. He is fast. He can get in the lane. He's a pesky defender. He's gotten better as a three-point shooter. Here, I'll give you a bonus, Dennis Schroeder. This was back on November 25th. There's Schroeder. You can see this is what he does, getting to the rim. 31 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. He has always done well against the Warriors. Has good career numbers against the Warriors. A little teardrop there. He is going to help. Steve Kerr said after the game that he could see Schroeder. Here's a rare three. Not a rare three. I think he was 4-for-8 that night, and he's shooting about 38%, so not bad. But he's not going to put up the numbers, and he's not going to play 33 and a half minutes, but he's a nice piece. Is he a needle mover that's going to take the Warriors from where they are now? They're continuing to fall, having lost 8 of 10. Is he going to take them up to the top of the Western Conference? No. At some point, they're going to have to decide if Kuminga is a trade piece or a foundation piece. Thank you. I was struggling to find that word earlier, so thank you. But if he's a foundation piece, I don't think he is, and I think they're getting closer and closer to moving him this season. I think that if I was a betting man, and I have occasionally bet, that I would bet that Jonathan Kuminga gets moved before the trade deadline this year because they're seeing this. They're gonna do this first. This is the smaller move, and this is what you do as an organization. Everybody panics. Make the big move. Make the big move. Make the big move. There's no big moves until the trade deadline or right up to it. The big names aren't going to move until then. Schroeder is having a nice season, and what the Nets are doing, it's like a stock. What the Nets are doing is this isn't the typical Schroeder season. He's at 33 and a half minutes, career high 18 and a half points, shooting it well, 6.5 assists or a little over that, about 5 boards a game. He's having the best season of his career. And so the Nets are saying his stock is as high as it's going to be. Let's move Schroeder now and get those picks and everything else, get the money off the books. They're moving Schroeder like a stock. But when you're talking about the big name guys who could potentially move, whether that's Ingram, whether that's Zion, I doubt it's going to be Giannis. Any of the big names that are going to move, those guys are going to move near the trade deadline. And so the Warriors have some time. So you take a little move like this, or this is more of a medium high kind of a move, medium. And you say, okay, can this help us? Okay, this is who we are now. Yep, we do need to make that big move. And that's kind of how it works. You try internally, you try different combinations. Okay, does this one work? Does this one work? Does this one work? Not so much. But Jemski's having a down year. We got to find somebody. They find Schroeder. Let's see what he does. Okay, moves him up a little bit. Okay, this is where we are. We still need to be a step higher. Do we move Kuminga or not? So that's kind of how the pecking order works. You try something. You try the guys you have. You make one move. Then you make another move. And I think that's where the Warriors are. And eventually, I think they're going to move Jonathan Kuminga. So if you want to talk about any of those things, hit me up. We are on the live chat. If you are on the YouTube show live, we are here every weekday at 8 a.m., 802, 803, something in that realm or nature. And we love every different opinion. You can hit me up at John Lund Radio on Twitter and all of social media. So welcome if you are new. All right, other things we need to discuss today beyond what we have discussed, which is football and basketball and some of the other things. Still don't have anything on Corbin Burns if you're tuning in for that. A couple of things you need to talk about. I panicked last night, and I showed you this on Friday. When do people start their holiday shopping? And I just can't believe it says October or earlier, 31%, 29% November before Thanksgiving, 9% Thanksgiving. What do you mean Thanksgiving? Oh, I guess, you do it online. 13% Black Friday, and you could not drag me to Black Fridays. The weekend after Thanksgiving, Cyber Monday during December and Cyber Monday, only 9%. So this morning, essentially, I started, or I guess last night, I woke up in a cold sweat going, oh my God, and my son finally, and I would suggest this, if you have older kids, or I don't know, whatever age, but it's so much easier, and he just sent me links on a note. He just sent me links, and I just click right on them. Half his things were on Amazon. I just went click, 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 order. So about half his things are done. They'll get here. Today's the 16th. We got 9 days. But then he sent me a lot of things that were non-Amazon that you have to order. And now I'm like, oh, like he likes Mitchell and Ness. And so all the, you know, the classic cool stuff and jerseys and hats and all that kind of stuff. And I ordered it from Mitchell and Ness. And with the email that I sent in there with all, with the stuff, I just went, whatever you have to do to get it here for Christmas, I'll pay. Cause you just don't know. So I'm interested in your holiday shopping. Are you done? Are you halfway done? Are you haven't started? Like Greg Papa would not start. We would do a show together on the 23rd of December. Then he would be gone the rest of the year. He'd be gone for a couple of weeks. And I always found it fascinating because I turned to him and I go, have you started yet? No. Have you started yet? No. Have you started yet? The 23rd of December, he's like, I'm going out tonight. And I'm like, you are insane. Because those are the people sweating. That's where you see fights. You see all the viral videos of fights, like on the 23rd. Like, that is way too late. I'd be a mess. I'd have an ulcer if I started on the 23rd. No way. All right, this is what I wanted to get to today. I'm a big Christian Bale fan. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, you can see that. Awful Announcing, who they do a great job. Christian Bale will portray Al Davis in an upcoming John Madden film. And I'm thinking of Christian Bale because he's done everything. He's had roles where he had to be super skinny. He's gained weight in certain roles. Obviously, he was Batman. I'm Batman. All that. He's done a ton of stuff. He is one of the, maybe he's not. I look at it this way. He's one of the most underrated actors around. And it's funny because you never hear anybody, I don't think you do. I don't think anybody ever says Christian Bale is my favorite actor, even though he's just done a variety of roles. He can do just about anything. He's outstanding. I know he had that one, I don't remember the movie. He had the one where, remember, people said he was just a major pain in the ass. And he was screaming at everybody, yelling at everybody. Nobody wanted to work with him. I don't know if that's on the regular for Christian Bale. I have seen him on some interviews. He rarely does interviews, but he is a great actor. So Christian Bale will portray Al Davis in an upcoming John Madden film. I think he's going to be great. Give me your thoughts. Bale better start eating the same as he did for the Dick Cheney role. That's a good one. Which movie was Christian Bale in which he was super skinny? And then he went super skinny to big. Like in that quick of a moment, it seemed like. Bale is so damn good. Right, Smiley Dan? He is damn good. What else do we got? No way. 9% club after Cyber Monday. This is Smiley Dan. But I do need to start soon. You might need to start very soon. And it depends on how old your kids are. I'm getting my kid, I don't know, handful of gifts, 5 or 6 gifts, but then it's cash. Like, I ask him a lot, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Everybody's all over me. My mom's calling me. What does he want? Just send him cash. My mom is one of those people. I don't know if your parents are like this. My mom, you'll tell her what the kids want. And most people I just want to, at this point, same thing with my wife. Just tell me what you want. I know that there's no suspense in that, but I'm not good at picking out jewelry. You wouldn't like what I pick out for you. I'm not good at picking out clothes. Like the whole suspense thing, that's like early in the relationship. Do you know me? How well do you know me? You don't know me very well. That's not a gift I would pick out. Now we're just at the point where it's like, hey, we're all busy. Everybody's doing lots of stuff. What do you want? Just tell me. Link to it. Let's go get it. Like, I don't want to wait. Like, it's June and you give me this big hint. And I'm not in Christmas mode. That's why when I pop that thing up there, I'm amazed. And these are just much better people than me, guys who are really dialed in, 31% October or earlier. So what that 31% October or earlier, which I think people are lying straight through their teeth, is that let's say you're on a summer vacation, or let's say it's early fall, or even last March or something, and your significant other, you're out walking around and she or he sees something and they look in the window or whatever. That's how I envision it. And they say, boy, man, I could really use that. And then you're like, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. I'll catch up. And then you actually buy it and then you stash it for 6 or 8 months. Now, if I could do that, that would be amazing, because then I wouldn't get hit with this huge credit card bill at the end, and I could distribute it throughout the money throughout the year, and I'd have all these gifts and they'd be in the closet and I'd be in the clear. But nobody does that. That's a straight lie. Before October. So you're walking around and in your mind, Christmas is always on your mind, or a birthday is always on your mind, or Valentine's Day or something. And you're like, I got to get that. I got to get that. I got to get that. That's not me. No way. That just sounds crazy to me. Glenn says cash or gift cards are the best. Yeah, I would say that. And I understand. But like, especially at my age, just think about how you want it. I mean, I don't need cash. Well, yeah, sure I do. Everybody needs cash. But, gift cards, cash, or I would just tell you, this is what I want, just buy it and then put it in a box and I'll open it. I'll be just as happy because I know, or happier because I know I'm going to use it. Like, one of the hardest things to do in life, well, when you're young, it's impossible. But even as you get older and they're sitting right there, and I told you, my mom, she doesn't care what you want. She'll buy you something and it's the thought that counts. That's a lie. But she'll get you something, and at this age, and I'll open it up and, it's a sweater or something from like the 70s. And I'm just like, God, but you'd have to put it on. And then, and I'm past this age, but remember when you were a kid You had to wear it. Hey, where's that sweater that grandma got you? You got to wear that while she's here. And you walk out, and then you're taking pictures from Thanksgiving from 1974. And you're like, what kind of sweater are you wearing? My grandma got it. I had to wear it for 2 days. It was terrible. There's all your Thanksgiving pictures because you had to wear it because grandma got that for you. Yeesh. All right. Went on a little tangent there. One more. I got a fancy new, but I got a bunch of new voice work. And one of my pieces of voice work, and I forgot, we put this together yesterday, so I don't even remember what it was like. But I got a great thing from last week for the Caboose Pistol. And if you're new to the show, for years and years and years, Papa and I did this thing, and it was called the Caboose Pistol. And I think what we used to call it at the end of the show was like One for the Road or something. And that wasn't a great name. But then WGN, about 10 years ago, reported on this story, and the guy called it the Caboose Pistol. And the minute we played that, we said, we're calling this thing the Caboose Pistol. And that's what happened. And so I made a new open for the Caboose Pistol that kind of incorporates what you'll hear is that WGN report. And it's why we call it the Caboose Pistol. And then I have a story today that was actually from last week, but you may not have heard it. And it is a perfect Caboose Pistol story. So as we are, David Montgomery torn MCL. Man, I don't know if Detroit's going to make it. They lost yesterday. Their defense is just, and Buffalo beat them. And, you know, Aiden Hutchinson, tons of different stuff, tons of injuries. And now that Thunder Lightning backfield that they have, David Montgomery torn MCL. He's going to be out for a while. So, all right, back, focus, no ADD. It's time for the Caboose Pistol. We end every show with the sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol. Here's your fancy open.
John Lund, Unleashed brings you the Caboose Pistol.
A female officer noticed the handle of a revolver sticking out from inside the woman.
What is the Caboose Pistol?
Did you say Caboose
Pistol? The old Caboose Pistol, everybody has one.
What better way to end the show than with a what the fuck was that?
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
What?
I know someone who could hide a machine gun in there. Yeah. I'm sorry, we're getting off track.
Just take it away, Lund, and leave me out of this, you weirdo.
Weirdo? Not a weirdo. I resent the fact that you said that. I'm not a weirdo. This is just some stories to make people feel good. What do you think? You like the new open for this? That's the Caboose Pistol story from WGN. You can get it right here on YouTube. After the show, or at some other point that you're done listening to the show, that's the new Caboose Pistol. You want to hear it again? Pretty proud of it. But we don't have to play it again. Anyway, we end every show with the Caboose Pistol, and here's the story. So, it's Xavier Leggett, wide receiver, second-round pick out of South Carolina, and he's a big dude. He's like 6'4", 230, like 4'5", 4'4", speed. And if you've never heard him talk before, he's a good old boy. And he eats raccoon. So, raccoon. And so he's on with Amon-Ra St. Brown and his brother. They do a podcast together, and they have Leggett on, and they ask him what's the weirdest thing he's ever eaten. Here's what he says.
Are you raccoon?
You what?
I
see that. I said, what do you mean raccoon? Like the raccoon?
Like a raccoon like, that you see in the trash can. Okay.
Where do you even eat that at? Where do you even get that?
I hunt it, I kill it, I skin them, cook them, eat them, all it.
So when's the last time you had a raccoon?
Thanksgiving.
So you went and got the Thanksgiving, you killed the raccoon, or you had, like, you
found it? Kids, all my people, them hunting all that, so my kids and them, they killed it. They called me like, yeah, we got that coon. We get got that coon. Yeah.
That sounds crazy. We got that coon.
Yeah, so, wait, what does it taste like?
It got its own taste. You know, everybody try to say stuff taste like cheese. But that coon got its own taste, though.
That coon.
Interesting. I never heard that. That's a first. Eating a raccoon. What else? What else you eat? That's weird.
I eat squirrel.
Squirrel?
Squirrel. I've heard of that. People eat squirrel.
I eat squirrel. I eat raccoon. They're like, where do you get raccoon? I just kill it. Roadkill. I mean, that dude's in the NFL. Have you heard that guy before? Xavier Leggett. I liked him. Like 6'4", 230, big dude, decent speed. He's on Carolina. I mean, he's like a cartoon character. Eating raccoon and rabbits and squirrels. It's like, dude, you're in the NFL. I mean, you weren't a first-round pick, but you're a second-round pick. But I think he's staying true to his roots. Staying true to his roots, eating raccoons, squirrels. rabbits. I've had friends that ate rabbit. I'm not kidding me. Let's have some pan fried rabbit. No. No. Plenty of stuff. He is country AF. Yeah, he is, man. Can't understand a word. That's why I put the words down there for you. Closed caption. So that you, I knew you weren't going to be able to do it. I eat squirrel. What's up, Antonio? What do you think? It's good. That's a good caboose right there. Xavier Leggett. If you want to hear more, that was with Amon-Ra St. Brown and his, can't understand a word, eat squirrel. So, I mean, he eats raccoon and squirrel and rabbit. But they asked him, what's the weirdest thing you ever ate? And he said, that's it. I ate squirrel. So anyway, that's Xavier Leggett. And that is what he eats. And that is your sweet, clean, family-friendly caboose pistol. Did we forget anything? Before we get out of here, we got into everything. We got into the Warriors losing 8 out of 10. Klay Thompson coming back and scoring 29, a season high. 3-point record between the two teams. 48 last night. Warriors have lost 8 of 10. They go out and they get Dennis Schroeder. By the way, Thursday against Memphis is when he's scheduled to make his debut. NFC West, of course, the Niners lose. The Rams are in first place now. Seattle looked terrible on Sunday night against the Packers. The Arizona Cardinals won. We got a Devondre Campbell, John Lynch. Was the one who confronted him, started the shopping we talked about. Christian Bale is John Madden. Got into a little bit of Purdy. I think that's it today. If you have any questions or comments or I didn't hit anything that you would like to hit or I missed something, at John Lund Radio. That is the best place to hit me up. Make sure that you are doing that. Make sure that you subscribe to the channel. Please give us your thumbs up and all those kind of things. So like and subscribe, all that kind of stuff as well. And that will help all the algorithms and all those kind of things. We're putting a website up. We should have that done by the end of the week. So then we can just put everything together. It's very simple. And remember, not only do we the 8 a.m. live shows every weekday and do it as long as we need to go, but also if there's breaking news, like over the weekend, I did the 3 minutes on Dennis Schroeder. We'll do all sorts of stuff like that. We'll do live chats after big games. Like the Warriors throughout the season, when they start playing some bigger games, we'll get into those and we'll do live chats at night during those. During Niner games, I like to do post-game shows. During the Giants season, if it's a bigger game, I'm not going to do 162 post-game shows, but if it's a bigger game or a great pitching matchup, we'll do that as well. And then, like I said, comment anytime right here. If it's not during the show, I get back to the comments as much as I can at John Lund Unleashed Pod on YouTube. Also, the podcast, so you can take it with you, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your favorite podcast. And, of course, at John Lund Radio. That was good for a Monday, man. I really appreciated hanging out with you guys today. Daryl and Greg and Ernie and Rockin' and Antonio and everybody. Tacky that came in today and AJ Cruz and everybody. And I love it that you guys are here before me and you're bitching and moaning going, come on, dude, let's go. It's a Monday. I loved it. So again, love it. You don't have to agree. We talk about that every single day. That is a Monday edition of John Lund Unleashed. I have some, by the way, I had some fancy voice work done, like some exit stuff that I could play. Let me see if I have the right buttons here.
It's 3 minutes on with John.
Oh, no, that's not it.
John Lund Unleashed. The most fun you can have with your pants on. Here's Johnny.
Yeah, that's good.
It's Monday with John Lund Unleashed. Yup, he's late and has a shitty excuse.
No, I don't.
Welcome to John Lund Unleashed because he doesn't have any friends.
Hey.
John Lund Unleashed on YouTube.
Okay. That's not right. Let's see, I got some other ones.
Thank you for watching John Lund Unleashed. Are you subscribed? Well, why the f*** not? I mean, thank you.
Oh, that's my favorite one. This is how we'll exit.
Thank you for watching John Lund Unleashed. Are you subscribed? Well, why the f*** not? I mean, thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great Monday, everybody.